This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Connect your hands to someone and just begin to speak in tongues, pray in the Holy Ghost. Connect your hands to someone and pray in the Holy Ghost. Go ahead, pray. Jelaka parata kafasila brahata baranta la frosta parata balata. Connect your hands, pray in the Holy Ghost. Just speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Abarakaparo safelata baratai. Mambrate koskoparata balata da 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 da. Aralata pakosoto parata lidabra. Baranta laska frosa balata baya. Lord, my life can be the same. Barata lasa koprante feliketila. Arala katato soto parala da vriatis. Jekeperala ta frenta braskila. Lemperata frascombra lataba. Great and mighty God. Mandala sobarata frelegete. Marala kaparoso paralata pregetelaha. Build up yourself in your most holy faith. Build up yourself in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Kabrata falashka. For he that prayeth in an unknown tongues edifieth himself, charges himself, builds up himself. Ralata pakorasa balatai. Ratabaka balataba. I came because of my destiny. I came because I must fulfill destiny. Jekeperalata briakatash. Lenteraka pasoto prafalata baya. Lenteraso paralaka parata bahata. Oh Jesus, kabrante fele keske peralita. There are kings. There are kingdoms. There are mountains and there are thrones. Only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end. There are kings, there are kingdoms, there are mountains, and there are thrones. Only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end. There are kings, there are kings, there are kings, there are mountains,
and there are thrones.
Only Yeshua,
only Yeshua
will reign forever. To his kingdom
there'll be no end.
One more time, there are kings. Only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there'll be no end. Father, tonight we've gathered unto you and we ask the Lord, open our eyes, teach us the secrets of the kingdom, cause us to rise on the strength of this light, and may our lives never be the same. Change us. Empower us. Impart us. As your word come, let it come with power. Let it come with grace. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. You be seated. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me start by apologizing for the congestion because of the rain and all of that. I know that very soon God will take us out of this hall in Jesus' name. So please patiently bear with us as we just find a way to still flow in the service. Amen. All right, let's get into the word of God and trust God to see how far we can reach. And then we'll continue tomorrow evening. Thy kingdom come. Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Elohim Adonai, thy kingdom come. Elohim Adonai,
thy kingdom come,
and
thy will be done.
Elohim Adonai,
Elohim Adonai,
thy kingdom come,
thy will be done.
Elohim Adonai,
Elohim Adonai,
thy kingdom come,
thy will be done.
Elohim Adonai.
Elohim Adonai. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Two more times say, Elohim Adonai.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Elohim Adonai.
Elohim Adonai. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
Elohim Adonai.
Elohim Adonai.
Thy kingdom
come,
thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
Luke 11,
please
a little volume on my mic. Luke 11. We'll check from verse 1 is the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. Elohim Adonai. Oh, oh. You want to stand? All right, just pay attention. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, you can hear me at the back, say amen. All right, as he was praying in a certain place, the Bible says, when he ceased, when he finished praying, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And then Jesus started revealing the heart of the Father in that prayer. It was a very powerful revelation. He said unto them, when you pray, everybody want to read, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven so in earth. Verse 3 media. Give us day by day our daily bread. Verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Stop there. Thank you. Now, let me just lay foundations for our teaching, and then please give me your attention. First, I will need you to understand that the prayer of kingdom come was an attempt to bring back to earth the dominion of the kingdom of God. That prayer was revealing something in the heart of the Father. It was an attempt to bring back to earth the dominion of the Father, to bring back the kingdom of God to the earth. And then he said, when you pray, meaning prayer is one of the ways to enforce the reality of God's kingdom on earth. We will examine that. And then there was a time before the fall of man when the dominion of God was upon the earth. I've shared those stories with you. Please permit me to go over it again for the sake of our teaching, so that you can understand the things I plan to share this evening. That before the fall of man, the kingdom of God was established upon the earth. Genesis 1 verse 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven, not the heavens, the heaven and the earth. So the remaining types of heaven were created later. He created the heaven and the earth, period. And then this reality was there for only God knows how many millions of years. The heaven where he dwells, and then the earth. And then I needed to also understand that there were inhabitants upon the earth, meaning there were certain people, let me not use people, but let me use inhabitants, that lived on that earth that was created in Genesis 1 verse 1. And I will soon show you from scriptures. And something happened that led to the chaos that we eventually saw in the book of Genesis 1 and verse 2. And this is very important. I did a teaching on this last week in Port Harcourt. And then, of course, the theme was similar to what we are examining today. So Genesis 1 and verse 2 came after many years. Like I've always taught you, it came after many years. And when we get to heaven, maybe we'll get to find out how many years we are in between Genesis 1 verse 1 and Genesis 1 verse 2. Because it was not just something that happened within a season. I know you can open your Bible and read, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, verse 2. The earth was without form, and then within few minutes you would have finished reading the entire chapter. But that you need to understand that a lot happened between Genesis 1 verse 1 and Genesis 1 verse 2. That Genesis 1 verse 2 came on account of the first flood. In theology we call it the Lucifer's flood or the first flood. And remember, there was another flood that happened in Genesis 7. Is that it? It is called the second flood or the Noah's flood. So the first flood happened on account of the judgment of Lucifer. So question, where was Lucifer? Let me show us a few scriptures. A little tutor on my mic will help me. Isaiah. Let me show us a few scriptures. Isaiah 14 from verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Listen, I told us earlier that there were nations upon the earth, there were inhabitants upon the earth. Meaning, there were nations, there were kingdoms, in fact, there were cities upon the earth. Before Genesis 1 verse 2, put up the scripture. Now he said, you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, and your coming back to the earth weakened the nation. It did something to the nations that were upon the earth. The next verse 13. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the side of the north. So Lucifer went or ascended to heaven, and the plan was to get into heaven, look for the throne of God, dethrone God if possible, then sit on that throne where God sits. When you read the book of Psalms, you will find out that according to Isaiah, the throne of God is located in the side of the north. I've taught you that. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole world. In Mount Zion side, the great king. So it's in your Bible. That is the side of the north. And Lucifer said, I will ascend to heaven, and I will look for the throne of God, dethrone God, and become king over this congregation. Now look up, look at what happened. The next verse, please. You might have to keep up the scripture until we are done. The next verse. So that we don't have to experience delay. I will ascend above the height of the cloud, and I will be like what? The Most High. So Lucifer was looking for the likeness of God. I will ascend and be like the Most High. One or two more verses. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the side of the pit. Next verse. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble? Look at this. He made the earth to tremble, to shake, even the kingdoms to shake. So there were kingdoms upon the earth, there were nations upon the earth. One more verse. Maybe that will help us. That made the world as wilderness, describing the chaos in Genesis 1 verse 2, and destroy the cities. Are you seeing it? That there were even cities upon the earth. So the moment he ascended, And then he was judged and thrown back to the earth. That was in a perfect order. His arrival back to the earth shook the earth. It shook the ecosystem and affected literally everything. And that was what led to Genesis 1 verse 2. Say amen. The Bible said, now there was chaos everywhere. Darkness was upon the face of the earth. So the first earth that was created was now tempered with. It got damaged on account of the judgment of Lucifer. Remember, he was not even the only one that was sent down. There were many other angels that rebel alongside with him. And there were top ranking angel, Leviathan. That devil that is in charge of the sea, a demonic prince, Abaddon. All of these demonic, you will find them in the book of Job. They were part of those conspiracy that happened to fight against God. And the Bible says he was judged alongside all of the demon spirit now. And then thrown back to the earth. And his arrival here did something to the earth. You are still following my story, say amen. Now there is chaos upon the earth, and God now said, let us recreate the earth. Let's bring back what was lost. That was what led to the recreation that started from Genesis 1 and verse 3. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be this, and there was that. And then after God recreated the entire earth, he also had to recreate the Garden of Eden. Because there was a garden upon the earth. The earth was in a perfect order, and there was also a garden. The same Eden that God recreated in Genesis was upon the earth before the fall of man. The book of Ezekiel, let me show us. Ezekiel 28. From verse 13. Now, everybody look up. Thou hast been where? In Eden, the garden of God. Look at this. And this was not talking about man. He was talking about Lucifer. You have been in Eden. So he used to live in Eden. The same place they now recreated and put Adam was where Lucifer used to live. Now, watch this. I've told you before. Listen, do you know why Satan is angry with man? There are many reasons. Why Satan is angry with man? You are seeing one of the reasons now, that where he used to live, man was created to now live in that location. It's like you are living in a duplex and enjoying yourself, and you did something wrong, and the person that gave you the house said, now you can leave the house. And he carries your gate man, now put in the house and make you a gate man. How will you feel about that? You will do everything possible to destroy that gate man. Is that true? Look at the materials that were used in creating Lucifer. So he felt he was superior to man. Because the materials that were used in building him were sardius, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire. All of these were the things used in building Lucifer. For man, what was used in building you? Sand. So are you seeing it now? So Lucifer is made with diamond, made with gold, made with silver. You are made with dust, sand. And you are now kept where he used to be. It's like a replacement, and they are using something inferior to replace you with. Lucifer became very angry. Very offended. I've told you before, let me repeat it. There are about 3 to 4 reasons why Satan hates man. Number one reason is that man was made in the image and likeness of God. Write it down. The first reason Satan hates every man, whether you are born again or not, Satan hates you. Even if he gives you riches and whatever it is, there is a plan. The plan is to eventually destroy your life. Satan hates you for having, remember, he said, I will ascend and be like the Most High. He wanted the likeness of God. When God created man with dust, he eventually breathed into man his image and likeness. That the same thing he was looking for in God, the same thing he was looking for, and he attempted to fight God, was the exact thing God carried and gave dust. So you have what he was looking for, and you didn't get your own because you even asked for it. God carried it and freely gave you to prove to Satan that what you were looking for, I can give it and still have it. Say amen. Have you ever lighted a candle from someone's candle? When you light a candle from someone's candle, does it affect your own brightness? That was what God did. He said, I can give you my likeness and still maintain it. Lucifer wanted to collect it completely from God and then dethrone God. This time around, God carried his likeness and freely gave man, and he still had it, still in place. This is the first reason Satan hates you, that you have the likeness of God. What he was looking for, God gave you freely. The second reason Lucifer hates you is that you are now living in the garden where he used to live. So your habitation used to be his habitation. Number three reason Satan hates every man is that the position you are occupying now, the rank you are occupying now, was usually his rank. After the Godhead, it was the cherubims, the angelic order called the cherubims, and he used to be the anointed cherub, meaning after the Godhead, the next in ranking was Lucifer. But listen, right now it's no longer that way. After the Godhead, who comes next? Shout it loud. Who comes next? Man. So he hates you for that. That after God in ranking, man comes next. He's not happy. Finally, Satan hates you because there was a prophecy that was left. This is why Satan will keep fighting every man. He said, and you will eat of the dust of the ground. He was told Lucifer, you were going to eat from the dust of the ground. And I have a question, where was man made from? From the dust. So every time Satan sees man, he believed that's his food legally. The only thing that exempts you from that prophecy is being in Christ. You have to be born again. If you want to escape that prophecy, you have to be born again. For if any man be in Christ, continue the reading now. The Bible says he's a new. All things are past. Behold, everything has become new. You are still in church, say amen. Amen. So Lucifer had to come to man. Listen, man is kept in the garden. He's having relationship with God. The dominion of God is restored to the Garden of Eden. And of course, restored to the earth. And then don't be confused when I use the word dominion and kingdom. Listen, they all have same root word. They all have same root word. That's the Hebrew word radah. And you should know by now that the word kingdom is the word dominion is extracted from kingdom. Is that it? King's dominion. Some people call it domain. The dominion of a king. A territory where the king dominates over. But that the way to call it also is the king's dominion. That's kingdom. It is two words put together so they can be used interchangeably. Now Lucifer is in the garden. Let's get back to our story. We're driving somewhere. Lucifer is in the Garden of Eden, having his relationship with God, and Satan is angry. He had to find a way to make man rebel against God, because he knows that the moment man rebel, God is going to judge man and even send man out of the garden, because he was in the garden too. When he rebelled against God, what happened to him? He was sent out of the garden. So let us make man rebel so that man also can be sent out of the garden. And of course, he succeeded through our grandmother Eve. Say amen. Oh, you didn't want me to mention it. Man was not deceived. The Bible tells us that it was the woman that was deceived. So it happened through our grandmother Eve. Did God really say you should not eat of these trees? God said we should eat of every tree. But for this one, he said we should not even touch it at all. For the day you will eat of it, you will surely die. And then Lucifer told her, it is not true. Everything God said, eat of it right now. You will watch your eyes being opened. And the woman looked at the fruit and saw that it was so beautiful to behold. And the Bible says she took from it and ate. And also gave her husband. He ate also, and immediately they became naked. Now watch, this is where the trouble started from. The moment they ate that, something happened again to the earth. The order was affected.
The moment man rebelled against God, the earth rebelled against man. The animals rebelled against man. This is why man can no longer sit with the lion. Man can no longer sit with the snake. It was not like that before. So the moment man rebelled against God, the entire planet earth rebelled against man. Something happened immediately. Now God descended to the garden and called Adam. Adam, where are you? Adam said, I heard your voice and I ran to hid myself because I'm naked. And God said, who told you you are naked? Have you eaten of that fruit? Then he shifted blame and said, the woman you gave me. That's why I believe God no longer wants to interfere with giving people wives. He said, he that finds. Because the last time he gave man a woman, man blamed him. Is that your Bible? So right now, he that finds. So that if you lie, find an idiot. At the end of time, you should blame yourself and don't blame God. At least he's not the one that gave you that one. Say amen. Now watch. Let me do this illustration. And please, I know some of you have seen it before. Please just follow me. Let me have a man and a lady. Any man? Worship him. Am I using you? Or these guys are just sitting. Easy, come. Just go. Let me call one person. You are singing. No, you are married. Glory, come. Let me leave married people. Glory, come. Oh yeah, climb up. She's not wearing shoe. You really want to be like Eve. Now stand this way. Hold her. This is your Eve. Adam. Are we here? Now watch. When Lucifer rebelled, he was in the garden. The Bible said God casted him out of the garden. But when man rebelled, he was not casted out of the garden. He was sent forth. Do you understand? God sent him forth. For Lucifer, what happened to him? Cast out. For man, what happened? Sent forth. They are two different things. So why will God do that? Because God loves man so much. Listen, there is a part of God in every man. Are you aware? There is. So the moment they sinned and rebelled, God came and declared judgment and said this. For the serpent, you will no longer have legs. Because hope you know the serpent usually have legs. Not like now that the snake crawls on his belly. The serpent, the snake usually have legs. It was like a lizard. So it was the curse that was placed on it that made the legs disappear. And it didn't used to eat sand. The serpent didn't used to eat sand. It was still the curse that made it to start eating sand. From now, you will eat of the dust of the ground. Now when he turned to these beautiful people, he said, I'm really going to do something to you. You have rebelled, you have done something. I'm going to take you out of the garden. But my sending you forth out of the garden is not because I hate you, it's because I love you. Because a lot of times we have been taught that God sent them out of the garden because he was judging them and he hated and all of that is not true. The reason God sent them out of the garden was an expression of his love for them. Because watch, now they are fallen, they had eaten of that tree. And they are aware they are going to die. And if you are the one knowing that now you are going to die, and in that same garden that is the tree of life, what will you do? You are an intelligent person. You went to school. What will you do? Now, you will only wait for God to step out of that garden. The moment he is stepping out, you will look for that tree. God think I'm an idiot. Me die. You will go and pluck of that fruit of life. Let's use this now as our tree of life. You will pluck from it and eat. And look at this. Man truly would have done that. Because the same intelligence you have is the same intelligence Adam had. Don't think he was a daft. He would have eaten of the tree of life in his fallen state. And the moment he eats of that tree in his fallen state, redemption is not possible. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is why demon spirits cannot be redeemed. Because they are immortals. Listen carefully. They rebel in that state of immortality. Is somebody understanding what I'm teaching? So man is not yet immortal now. So if he had eaten of the tree of life in his fallen state, redemption will not be possible. Just like Satan cannot repent, just like demons cannot repent, man too wouldn't have had the opportunity. So man would have been part of that species. Maybe would have been called other names, not demonic spirit now. You would have lived forever, but not a godly species. And then there would have been a fight between the satanic world and the Adamic world. Do you understand what I'm trying to say now? And that's exactly what Lucifer wanted. So God said, I won't allow that to happen. Follow me out of the garden. Hold my hand. Release your hand. Put your hand here. I am going to escort you. When you are getting married, your parents escort you to the altar. Send forth. Is that it? I am going to escort you out of the garden. He did send forth for them. You will stay outside the garden for a while. And within this period of staying outside the garden, you might now have to walk to eat. All of that free food you used to eat in the Garden of Eden, no more. Do you understand? Now you will have to walk to eat. And you will remain here until I return back to create another Eden. God is not tired of creating Eden. Because Jesus came back and recreated Eden. Are you aware? Except that the Eden this time around is a spiritual reality. You only know about it when you are in Christ. Say amen. Amen. So he kept them out of the garden and said, wait for me here for 4 days. I am going to come back after 4 days to bring you back to Eden. So man had to be outside for 4 days. And I'm sure when that discussion was happening, Adam would have said, Lord, 4 days, thank you. I'm willing to wait. We only sleep and wake up, sleep and wake up, sleep and wake up. Unknown to him that he was not it. Right from when Adam fell, till the time God looked for Abraham to start that journey of redemption with, it was 2,000 years. I've told you before. And from Abraham till the coming of Jesus was another 2,000 years. Making how many years? And a day before God is like, and 1,000 like. So they were supposed to be out here for 4 days. 4,000 years. He kept them out here. Remain here until I finally show up. When Jesus show up, this is what really happened. Hold my hands again. The moment Jesus died and made redemption possible, this is really what happened. That now there is a provision to go back to where? To Eden. That provision exists. So the moment you give your life to Christ, that's really what happens to you. You are taken back to Eden. Now we are returned back to Eden, and he now told us in the Lord's Prayer that Eden now first is in your heart. Let thy kingdom come and your will be done in earth, not on earth, in world, in earth, meaning in your life as a person. So it will now take prayer to ensure that that reality extends from you to your territory. So now that you are born again and you are in Eden, that's not all. You still have an assignment to ensure that that dominion is established on earth. Hallelujah. God bless you, Adam and Eve. Can you celebrate them?
Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases. Leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you gave yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. Oh, chases me down, fights till I'm found, and leaves the 99.
I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still you
gave yourself away.
Oh, the overwhelming,
never-ending,
reckless love of God. Listen, Jesus is called the second Adam. And the moment the second Adam showed up, captured in his prayer, was the desire of the Father to restore back to earth the kingdom of God. And he showed that in the Lord's Prayer where we just read. When you pray, say, Our Father. In fact, it was not just captured in his prayers, it was also captured in his teachings. Is that it? The moment he started preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is here. It has been restored. It has been returned back. Repent. Change the way you think. Now see the kingdom. Now, let's get into the discussion about the kingdom. And I wanted to note down these three things about the kingdom before I show you what it means for the kingdom of God to come. Because you see, brothers and sisters, the gospel of the kingdom is so powerful. Listen, there have been so many gospels in the dispensations right from the church age till now. There have been different gospels, the word of faith movement, the holiness movement, and all of the prosperity gospels. But listen carefully. Among the seven gospels, even the gospel of salvation, among the seven gospels, listen carefully. The gospel of the kingdom is supposed to be the last gospel that will usher in the coming of Jesus. Say amen. This is very interesting. I'm going to read a scripture to you later. It is the gospel that will usher in the coming of Christ. Jesus get that as the major sign of the end time. That the moment you see that emphasis are being laid on kingdom matters, be careful, because he's by the corner. He's close. So during the holiness movement, seen as in the hands of an angry God, all of those kind of teachings, it still was not near. But now that emphasis are being laid on kingdom matters, he said the end is near. So I want you to note this about the kingdom. Right. That a kingdom system of government is not democratic. Some of you who did government now will understand better. Let's help chemistry students. Right? And physics students. That a kingdom system of government is not democratic. And as such, the king reigns and rules. Not a president, not a prime minister, the king. In a kingdom system, there is a king. It is not democratic. You don't elect the king. You don't vote him in and you can't vote him out. And he's not a prime minister. Even our God is not called a president. Are you aware? He's called the king of kings and the Lord of lords. He's not called the president of presidents. No, he's called the king. So this system is not democratic. You cannot wake up one day and say, I'm tired of having this government of heaven. Can we vote God out? One man one time was so angry with life. He said, why did God choose to stay in heaven? That he would have just come down on earth. We'll vote him out. Unfortunately, this system is not democratic. You can't wake up one day and say your PVC is your answer. No. No. Hallelujah. The king reigns. Revelation 19:16 is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's his name. Number two, not this. That in a kingdom system, the greatness of the king is determined. I will come again. Not this, that in a kingdom system, the greatness of the king is determined by the well-being of his citizens. Oh, somebody should like this. In a kingdom system, I come again. The greatness of the king is not just determined by his wealth. It's determined by the well-being of his citizens. These are things you need to understand to know that you are not supposed to be broke in this life. Say amen. And you are not supposed to struggle in this life. Say amen. That the well-being of the citizens is really what determines the greatness of our king. Maybe I show you a scripture. You know Psalms 23? He said, how did he start that Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Next verse. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside still water. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. Read that next line. For his name, not because you did anything. For the sake of his name, his greatness, he will ensure that you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and come out. Not because you were carrying some weapons, but because of his name. That eventually people should look and say, this is a very great king. He is concerned about the well-being of his people. The Bible said, take no thought of tomorrow, Matthew 6. And all of this, he said, if he can take care of the lilies of the valley, how about you? And then after all of that was said and done, he now says, seek first the kingdom. Is that in your Bible? Go after the kingdom. Go after the kingdom. Just ensure that you advance his kingdom. And the king will be committed to ensuring that everything you are looking for comes after you. So in a kingdom system, the greatness of a king, that the reputation of the king is at stake if you are not living well. It's like giving birth to children and they are not well kept. Somebody look and say, who is the stupid father that gave birth to these plenty children and he can't take care of? Number three, not this. Oh, this might not interest you so much. That the king owns everything and everyone. The king owns everything and everyone. Meaning owning anything in this kingdom makes you a rebel. Owning anything, my anointing, that's a rebel talking. Do you understand? My grace, that's a rebel talking. My this and that, that's a rebel talking. Because in this kingdom, you don't own anything. You are only a steward. My money, that's a rebel talking. My house, that's a rebel talking. That you really don't own anything. You are only a steward. How about that? Do you like hearing that one? You won't like it because your ego is at stake now. I was the one that labored and worked and struggled until I built this. Why will you say God owns it? Well, the earth is the Lord's and its fullness thereof. Then he said, the world and they that dwell therein. So both the earth and the people on it belongs to the king. Now, you won't understand this very well until you study the Old Testament. Who is that lady? Uriah's wife. Get her for me. Nobody complains. That's really a king. Do you understand? Solomon married 700. No one parent complained. Did you? Did you hear anybody going to the palace and saying, oh king, I'm not. Did you hear anyone? You will die for nothing. In fact, it was a pleasure for the king to even desire your daughter. Even if she's number 300, no problem. That's how kingdom system work. That everything you have belongs to the king. One time, King David just sat and said, is there anybody in the house of Saul so that I will show the person mercy and kindness for Jonathan's sake, my friend? They said, there is nobody except a crippled guy. And then Ziba, who was the one in charge of the house of King Saul, he said, call me the two of them. The moment they came, he looked at Ziba. He said, you and your 9 sons and everything you have now belongs to this cripple. And the man said, yes, sir. You dare complain, they will fall on you. Have you read King James? When you hear fall on him, When you hear fall on him in King James language, it means you are gone. No, you are gone. Somebody is coming with a knife. That's really a kingdom system that nobody complains. Nobody says pin. The moment the king declares, wherever the word of the king is, there is power. Everybody complies. That's why in Christianity, you don't have an opinion. The opinion we have is the word of God. Say amen. In my own opinion, I think church should start. What are you talking about? Who are you? That's a rebel talking. In my own opinion, I think church should start. Did you read it from the word of God? If you have an opinion in this kingdom, you are a rebel. The word of God has been given as the code, the guide. That's what we must live with. So gathering people and say, okay, what's your suggestion? What's your opinion? Those opinions must agree with the word of God. Otherwise, that's rebellion building up. You are still in church. Say amen. Amen. Don't worry. Anywhere I stop, I will stop. I tell you this. I'm still laying the foundation. We have not started our teaching. Say amen. I have not started. So anywhere we will stop, we'll just stop and finish up tomorrow evening. Because I really want you to understand this kingdom thing. When people come to church and then the guys sit down like one King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No. No. There is one king. One. Psalms 22 and verse 28. A very powerful scripture I love so much. Psalms 22 and 28. For the kingdom is the Lord's. And he is the governor among the nations. He is. The kingdom belongs to the Lord. Just like the earth belongs to the Lord, the kingdom belongs to the Lord. And he is the governor among the nations. So at what point can we say the kingdom of God has come? Let's write. Four instances. At what point can we say the kingdom of God has come? This also will serve as a definition for what kingdom come is. At what point can we say the kingdom of God has really come on earth? Number one, when the will of the Father begins to find expression in earth and on earth. At what point can we say the kingdom of God is come upon the earth, thy kingdom come? Number one, when the will of the Father begins to find expression in earth and on earth. Two different things. In earth, meaning in you, and on earth, your environment, your territory, your sphere of influence, like we saw in the morning. We'll talk about the will of God later, so let me not dwell on this. Number two, when every sphere of influence, number two, when every sphere of influence is invaded with the culture of heaven by the citizens of the kingdom, I will come again. You might have to get that morning message if you are not around in the morning. When every sphere of influence, politics, business, career, whatever it is, when every sphere of influence is invaded with the culture of heaven by the citizens of the kingdom. That imagine all of us here working in different spheres. Some of us call into media, some of us call into business, some of us call into education, some of us call into politics and all of that. And we begin to ensure that the culture of heaven find expression in those spheres. The moment that start happening, the kingdom of God is come. The moment the will of God is done in those spheres, and the civilization of heaven, the culture of heaven starts finding expression in that sphere where you are sent to, it's safe to say the kingdom of God is come. So the culture of God, the culture of the kingdom, must find expression in that sphere before we can even talk about or conclude that the kingdom of God is come. Number three, when the kingdoms of this world, cosmos, we saw that in the morning, Revelation 11:15, when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, then it's safe to say the kingdom of God has come. When the kingdoms of this world, when the kingdoms of this world, cosmos, the various spheres, become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, then it is safe to say the kingdom of God has come. That's number three. Because brothers, you see, there is another king parading himself in the world. Are you aware? The Bible calls him the God of the earth. We saw that in the morning. The God of the world. We saw that in the morning. The God of a system that is antichrist. There is another king on earth parading himself. The Bible even calls him going about like the roaring lion. A type of the lion of the tribe of Judah. Going about seeking whom to devour. There is another king on earth also building a system, ensuring that it fights the kingdom of God. So when we begin to arise to take our place, to ensure that the dominion of God is established in those various spheres, then it's safe to say the kingdom of God has come. If darkness is still looming around where God sent you to, brother, that is still a problem. I am sent to so and so place, but that the kingdom of darkness is still oppressing people, it's not yet done. The last one, and I will dwell on this a little before we go into our teaching. At what point can we say the kingdom of God has come? When believers, or better put, citizens, hence we are talking about kingdom matters, put citizens. Say I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. Shout it again, I'm a citizen. Yes, you are not just a believer, you are a citizen. So when the citizens of this kingdom, I love this, thank you Jesus, let's talk here now, say amen. When the citizens of this kingdom begin to put the kingdom before their ego and position, when the citizens of this kingdom begin to put the kingdom of God before their ego and before their position, at that point, meaning you are not trying to use your ego and position to create a space for yourself or an estate for yourself within the kingdom, you understand your place as a citizen and you stay within your allocation. If you don't understand this and you allow this to be done, then there is a problem. When the citizens begin to put the kingdom, remember Matthew 6:33, seek first what? The kingdom. So when you begin to put the kingdom before your ego, the kingdom before your position, do you know me? I am Apostle Jonathan Shekoya. Why will you treat me like that? The moment that is still your disposition, that is a problem. You have to come to a point where that position does not matter. So you first see yourself as a citizen before you are an apostle. Say amen to that. You are first a citizen before Deacon XYZ, before Elder XYZ. All of that is nonsense. First, you are a citizen. And every citizen must be loyal to the King of the kingdom. Is that it? Yes. Let me now show you. Do you know when people put their ego and put their position before the kingdom, offenses are bound to come? Is that it? You will be offended 1,000 times, even over things that should not offend you. This is a believer's conference. Let's just talk. I mean, things that should not offend you. You will keep getting offended with pastors, with HOD, with ushers, with everybody. Even while they are trying to create space for you to sit, you are still angry. Matthew 24, for the sake of time. Ah, Lord Jesus. See, it's like we leave impartation for tomorrow. Let me just teach. Say amen. After all, the place is congested. So just follow me. Wherever I stop, as the Lord lead me. Are we okay? Tomorrow morning, there will be a lot of impartation. And then in the evening, as we wrap up. Matthew 24. Let's even start from verse 1. Lord, this is a believer's conference. Let's learn. Give us from verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. Just follow the story. And when Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another. Ah, that shall not be thrown down. These guys are now surprised. You mean all of this building will be thrown down? And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately and say, tell us, when shall these things be that you are saying? I'm driving somewhere. We would have started from verse 10, but just listen to the story. And what shall be the sign of thine coming and of the end of the world? How do we know that you are close to coming? Jesus said, interesting. Sit down and listen to my teaching. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man do what? So the first sign of end time is deceit. You will begin to find people being deceived. There is a teaching I wanted to do, but the sessions are not enough. Say amen. The sessions are not enough. I wanted to teach on anti-kingdom practices. Say amen. Anti-kingdom practices. Maybe that will still come in one of our services. That there are practices happening right now in the body of Christ that are anti-kingdom. They are not biblical. Somebody just wake up and start doing something out of the blue. You don't know where he is. I mean, he'll just bring one practice. Mix honey with Maggi. Little water and then sugar. Anoint yourself. After anointing yourself, stand in the middle of the road and bat 12 a.m. And that's the man of God giving you instruction. That's demonic. In case you have done that, that's witchcraft. What did I say? Anti-kingdom practices. I just wish we had time. Put the scripture. So deceit, deception is going to be the first thing we'll see. That people will arise with deception in their mouth. Next verse. I hope you still like me after this teaching. No? For many shall even call me my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall do what? Deceive many. Many believers will be deceived. They don't want to hear, sit down and learn the word of God. They want Jehovah Sharp Sharp. And of course, Jehovah Sharp Sharp will always cut corners. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For when you see all of these things happen, it will come to pass, but the end is not yet come. All of these are just happening as a preparation ground. The end has not come. Next verse. For nation shall rise against nation. Of course, this has been happening right from the days of Jesus. Kingdoms against kingdom. And there shall be famine, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. They are not even the signs of an end time. And they have been happening. Have we read 9? Then shall they deliver you up. This is even where my story starts from. This is what I wanted you to see. And they shall deliver you up to be what? Afflicted. This is the one you don't want. Else you will be offended. So little thing happen in church that touches your ego. And you feel like you were embarrassed. I'm leaving that church. I'm leaving. In fact, some even backslide. I'm going back to the world. You just sit back and listen to the word of God. Put it up. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. And they shall even kill you. You have not been killed yet. You're already leaving church. And you shall be hated of all nations. You is only your village people that are hating you. Or maybe just your neighbor hating you. And you're already in trouble. The Bible says nations shall hate you. Not neighbors, nations. Verse 10. And then shall many be what? Because they have put their ego and position before the kingdom, they shall be offended. Tell yourself, I refuse to be offended. Shout it loud, I refuse to be offended. Look at your neighbor. You can't offend me. Listen, look at him. Tell him you don't have what it takes to offend me. Because I am programmed not to be offended. Shout it again. I can't be offended. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. This is how we build believers. Listen, there are two reasons why you can be offended in the kingdom of God. Number one, you are a child. You just got born again. We understand. They shared rice. It didn't reach me. We understand you can be offended. You are a child. You just came in. But that you have been born again for 4 years, 5 years, praying in tongues, fasting and doing vigils. Rice did not reach you. You got angry and said, that church, they don't have love. I'm leaving. You? No, this is the first way we know. You are a child if you get offended. Second reason why you can be offended is because you have put your ego and position before the kingdom. The Bible says many shall be offended. He was talking about the kingdom. Then he said, and shall betray one another. It will happen in the house of God. And shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Let's read through 14. And because iniquity shall abound, read the next line, the love of many shall wax cold. The love they have for God will go down. And somebody did this in church, and now your passion for God is going down because of what somebody else did. See, ba, better grow up and let this conference mature you, that after now, not everything will make you get angry. No. If you come, I've told you before that not everybody in church is okay. In fact, almost everybody on your row is sick except you. I say except you, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking except you. But everybody on your row is sick. I mean, everybody on your row needs attention. Either lies is disturbing. I mean, the guy is still working in lies or prayerlessness. I mean, there is something the person wants to come out of. So for you to expect that everybody in church should all of a sudden, even in the early church that Jesus just left, didn't they fight and murmur? What was the cause? Rice. I told you earlier. So you expect that you can come into a church as big as this, and then everybody keep treating you nice. Everybody keep talking nice about you. Who are you? Even me, you will be surprised that in this place, there are people who still badmouth me. Are you aware? And of course, it's a normal thing. They say, Apostle said, now, wow, you will be preaching and shouting on people as if he doesn't even know we're older than him. Of course, there are people that will still talk like that. I said, no, Apostle, I beg you. It's just that he talks nice. Let's go back again. But Sky. So it's normal. And of course, I'm not troubled. Go ahead. Now, for you now to sit back and say everybody should talk nice. No, you are not yet there. Even Jesus, there are those who are still bad-mouthing him. Let's read through 14. He said, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure, oh glory, that's us now. Until the end, the same shall be what? Shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, I told you earlier, shall be preached in all the systems of the earth for a witness. Look at the word, for a witness. He didn't say all of them will give their life to Christ, but at least let them hear. I've been preaching to my boss. He's not hearing. But have you preached? Yes, allow him. If the Holy Ghost convicts him, fine. Otherwise, he's preached for a witness. Then the Bible said the end shall now come. So the gospel of the kingdom, it's going to be the last sign that will usher in the coming of the Christ. At what point should we say the kingdom of God has come? When you don't put your ego before the kingdom. Refusing to be offended. Refusing to be offended. Refusing to be offended. Somebody gets offended and he does not even just leave the church. He leaves Christianity. I mean, he backslides and just go back to the world. Ah, I will not be silent. Always worship you, for as long as I am breathing, I am breathing, I am breathing, I will always, worship you. I will not be silent.
I will not be silent.
I will always worship you. For as long as I am breathing, why will God even allow people in church to gossip, to backbite, to do all of those things that have the ability to offend me? Listen, let me tell you why. To grow you. What did I say? To grow you. You are too chicken-hearted. People should do things that will make you strong. Strong. So that nothing touches you again. Nothing even build you and make you strong. Look at our politicians. Insult the hell out of them. They still rig election, and then happily you swear them in, they'll be laughing and telling you thank you. Insult them, they don't even care. Only God knows what they have gone through in life that have made their skin so thick that whatever, even if you are dying, they just walk past. Now you, somebody only said your haircut is one side, the carving went one side. That's all. The person was not even talking to you. You only heard. He said, is it my hair? Says your hair. Aha. He said, if that's the case, I'm not going to that church again. That you? One person spoke and you're offended. And you want to be great. Do you know how many people talk against greatness? Not even a pastor yet. Just be great. If Cyrene pass here now, look at what was there. Thieves. They are passing with our money. Thieves. It's not your money. You don't know who is there. Maybe it's a sincere businessman that God has helped. And he has a convoy just passing innocently. Now your pain. You don't lash it out and say, idiot, our money. And your money is not inside. It's not, you see it now? Now, you see, you just attempt to be great and see how many fingers will be pointing at you. Because naturally, when you are great, there is something your greatness do to mediocres. That is something your greatness do to them. It makes them feel stupid. Ah, this thing we tried, it didn't work. What are you using? They start saying either you are fake or you went to somewhere. You see, for every rich person, poor people believe you did something dubious. Try to convince them it was the favor of God. They say, explain. How did this favor happen? Explain. You are a beautiful girl. How did favor happen? Beautiful girl, explain. A man just gave, you started. A man gave you what? Complimentary card to meet where? No, I met him in his office and then he just, no, please complete the story. Where else did you meet him? Because as far as a poor man is concerned, you can't get rich being sincere. You see, when God allows people to start talking against you, it's because he's preparing you for where he's taking you to. Because even when you get there, they will keep talking. They won't stop. So when they talk, don't stay back to explain yourself. Because people believe what they want to believe. Regardless your explanation, they won't believe you. They already have an opinion. So allow them. The more they talk, keep making progress. Because you only become a topic when you are at the top. Oh yes. You only become a topic when you are at the top. So allow them talk. It means you are at the top. Keep soaring. That's how to keep your enemy busy. Keep producing results. Let them keep talking about the result while you are producing. Let them keep talking. You are one day they wake up, they can't even see you. Maybe some of them had your phone number, they send you text, you don't even know them. You are like, please, who is this? They say, ah, me, you. When did level change? What happened? That's how it happens. When you grow, even your friends change. So if you want to remain friends with anybody as they are growing, grow. You might not be in same sphere, but as they are growing in the area, grow in your area. Somehow, you meet at the top. It's easy to meet there. Very easy to meet there. Hallelujah. Biblical ways to make his kingdom come on earth. Let's discuss just one in a few minutes and then we pray. Biblical ways to make his kingdom come according to our text. So how do we make the kingdom of God come? If we have discussed and seen what it means to have his kingdom come, how do we make it happen? Number one, for tonight, and that will be all, submission to his will. Submission to his will. Or submitting your will to his will, because you also have your will. Submission to his will. Lord, grant us grace. It said, thy kingdom come and thine will be done. You cannot have heaven on earth when your will is still in charge. No. When your will is still in play, is still in charge, you can't have heaven, his kingdom come, or heaven on earth, whichever. And it doesn't just come because you are prayerful. His kingdom does not just come because you are prayerful. No. That prayer you are praying is also a tool to bring your will under the influence of God's will. So when you start praying, it's one of the ways to capture your will and bring it under the influence of God's will. And you know, when it has to do with the will of God, God cannot force his will upon you. You will have to willingly allow his will to be done. That the Holy Spirit is not a demon spirit. He doesn't force himself on people. You will have to give him permission willingly. Willingly. Hallelujah. It was Jesus that said, I lay down my life willingly. Willingly. I lay it down. I submit my will. Allowing his will to be done means to allow what he wants to find expression. Even as against what you want. You already have what you want. You have your own will. But that you are willing to submit it. You are willing to drop it at his feet. Let me want what you want, oh my dear Lord. Let me love what you love, oh dear Lord. That is how you design life, Lord. Help me, Lord, to live as I ought to live. Now look at the other part. Sing and think. Oh Lord, take me to the place where I have no will that is separate from your will. Oh Lord, take me to the place where I have no choice that is separate from your choice. To be lost in you is my desire. To be all for you
is all I want.
Declare those lines again.
Oh Lord, take me to the place where I want no will that is separate from your will. Oh Lord, take me to the place where I have no choice that is separate from your choice. To be lost in you is my desire. To be all for you.
Listen, but do you know what it means to come to a point where your will is not separate from his will? Where your choices are not separate from his choices? That even the house you are living now is the exact house God wanted you to live. The clothes you wore this evening is the exact clothes he wanted you to wear. The friend you're going to see 2 days' time is the exact friend he wanted to go and see. That your choices, your will, is not separate from what he wants for your life. Let me tell you, this is the height of your Christian life. Believe what I'm telling you. Coming to a point where although you have what you want, but you have decided to lay it down like Jesus. Jesus prayed one prayer point for 3 times. 1 hour praying one prayer point. Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass over me. I have my own will. If we can redeem these people without me dying, I will appreciate. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. He kept convincing God for 1 hour. Went back to the disciples and thought they would be praying to help him convince God. The guys were sleeping. He said, wouldn't you just stay with me for 1 hour to convince God? For where? He went back again and kept praying. Oh God, please let this cup pass. But I still want your will to be done. All I'm saying is that if we can find another way to redeem man without me dying, because dying is not cheap, I will appreciate. He prayed it for 3 hours. God did not change his mind. When you are a child, you tell God what you want. When you start growing up, you collect what he wants and execute it. That's how we grow in this kingdom. For me, anything I ask God, he just does it. Let me tell you, you are still a child. Grow up. The more you keep growing, you will come to a point where it's not, Lord, do this for me. It's, Lord, what will you have me do? That's the height, I'm telling you. It's not about what you want. It's about what God wants part time. This is the height of it, oh brother. So this, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. It's not just by mouth. If the kingdom of God must come, you must lose something. And that thing you are losing is called your will. I'm a strong will person. Well, when it has to do with the kingdom of God coming on earth, you must submit that strong will. Whether you have a strong will or a soft will, whichever, you must submit it. You must submit it. His will must always, not once a while, always. That even your choice of career, there are many of us right now, you have given God, you've laid down your will in every other aspect. But for the woman you will marry, you are telling God, allow me, let me use my eye and pick a beautiful woman. You see, this thing will cut across every area. You can see a beautiful girl and say, Lord, this is what I want. And God will say, as it has to do with your assignment, the blueprint of your life, if you go with her, you might not fight and beat yourselves, but you might not be fulfilled. And you can stand there and choose whether to still go ahead or to say, Lord, I surrender to your will. Whatever you want for me is what I want now. Ooh, that's the height of it, brother. The psalmist said, lo, I come. In the volumes of the book, they are written concerning me to do your will. Powerful song. I think it was Dogara I heard singing that song. I come in the volume of the books. They are written about me. To do your will, oh God. I come in the volumes of the books. They are written about me. To do your will, oh God. Hey, I come in the volumes of the books. They are written about me. To do your will, oh God. I come in the volumes. I come in the
volumes of the books.
They are written.
Your will,
I come in the volumes, I come in the
volume.
They are written
about
me. Let me tell you, the will of God at times can be painful. There are times you might submit to the will of God with tears. Are you aware? I mean, you are crying. Like Jesus cried, if it is possible, let this cup pass. There are times you submit to the will of God with tears. Not with luxury, not with, no, with tears. You think every will of God is going to make you laugh and then walk through pleasure and luxury, shaking hands with everybody? There are times God might demand things from you that your life is so stuck to it. I mean, so stuck. And God will say, are you letting it go? For the sake of my kingdom, are you letting this one go? Or imagine, let me use Peter, ministered powerfully yesterday, come. With all the anointing and the grace, imagine God telling Peter, the blueprint of my life for you is not to become a popular gospel minister. Well done with all the rehearsals. Well done with every song you have received. But that my blueprint, my will, is that your song only will be sung within the four walls of this church. And people will be inspired and blessed and lifted. But when it has to do with a global ministry, it's not my blueprint for you. How will you feel? With all the rehearsals. Because as at that point, you will know that all the rehearsals and skill and everything was targeted at something. So that maybe eventually one day God will give me a song or give me a message or give me an anointing that will make me a global figure. Now, God has summarized it for you now to tell you that this thing is not a global thing. I want you to remain within the confines of this territory. Pioneer a move in this city and that's all. Chances are that this guy might stop rehearsing. What's the need? When God have clearly told me now, the nations are not waiting. It's just my church. Even if I sing off key, are they going to kill me? Highest, they say they are not giving me mic for 2 weeks and that's all. Let me tell you, the will of God at times can make you look stupid. Some of you, is the will of God that has brought you to Abuja. You don't know anybody. I mean, an intelligent person like you is squatting. You've been squatting for 2 months. You are almost looking. Your parents have called you to say, are you stupid? Where did you say God say you should go to? God said I should go to Abuja. To do what? And you have been squatting. What you eat at times is not there. And you say God said, is that how wicked God is? Well, there are times his trainings and the process might require. Like Paul the Apostle said that there were nights I fasted in many fastings. Times where there was not even what to eat. God bless you. When we talk about the will of God, brother, this is not the one we sit and laugh. No, no. For some people, the will of God has been making them think twice. Oh God, did I make a mistake by taking that job? Did I make a mistake by doing X, Y, Z? And but you were convinced while starting. God showed you everything you needed to know as a proof that you are in his will. But why is the ministry not working? 5 years, 2 years, only 3 members. How about God? But you told me. the will of God. There are some of you, your marriage has been delayed. It's almost making you look stupid. Should I compromise? Every man that comes tells you, can I sleep with you and test before we marry? And you say, no, I believe in the integrity of the word of God. I'm standing for the truth. I love Jesus too much. I can't compromise. And they will look at you and say, go and marry Jesus. And that's how they will walk away. Now you are 27, 28. You are looking stupid because everybody younger is getting married. And you will turn back to God. How about God? Can't you just wipe my tears? And God is saying, I still have a plan. But where is the plan? Where is the plan? It is difficult to trust a God you can't see. Oh, that's why it's called the journey of faith. For many of you, outrightly, God told you, I'm going to delay your marriage. I'm going to delay XYZ. And things have been happening and you can see it play out. So everybody is running and making it look like you are the one that is not wise. Can't you add one and two together and have it? You can, but God said no. The man said, just come. When you come once, I'm transferring 500,000. And Abba, it's just once. Can't I go and just do this thing and come and ask for mercy? I come in the volumes of the books. They are written about me. To do your will, O God. I come in the volumes of the books. They are written about me. Yeah. To do your will, O God. Imagine God would tell Bishop David Oedipo to go to Canaan land where he is. No human being was there. Or God asking that the Jew to go to redemption camp. There was no one human being. In fact, listen to the story. There were many snakes and pythons they had to send out from that place. One time I heard he went out in the night with just a walking stick, praying along in the night. And in the morning, they had to call a trailer to come and carry one snake off. And they asked him, how did you kill it? He said, with his walking stick. Do you kill a python with a walking stick? Imagine God asking you, that's the place to go and start your ministry. And that is his will. That's his will. Now, you think the will of God is Abuja town? Or the will of God means everything is falling in place. Meanwhile, people who truly are walking in the will of God can tell you. There are many people ahead of a man of God in Abuja doing well. I think it's Sam Oye. When he came to Abuja, I think he came not with nobody, with a bag. That was all. The will of God. Now, you, God ask you to do that, will you do it? You will first make contact. The all friends you have, please, all of you, gather together. I'm anointed. Let's start. So he came knowing nobody. See what God is doing in that land. Who told you the will of God is sweet? Let me tell you, 98% of the time, I say it without missing words, 98% of the times, the will of God will fight your own will. There will be direct opposite. Direct opposite. Because even if you probe your heart right now, we'll find out that 98% of the things you want are things God doesn't want. But like I told you, John 21:18, when you were a child, you will guard yourself and do what you want and go wherever you want and have whatever you want to have. The moment you start growing, you will have to submit to someone. Submit to a superior will. I told you that's the height of your Christian life. If you love God so much, this is what he demands. Give me your will. Drop your will. Jesus said, I lay down my life. As many as are led by the Spirit, meaning you don't have direction again. So you only follow what the Holy Ghost is saying. At times he will lead you to places and they say, well, who invited you? How did you get here? He said, the Holy Ghost led me. You are very stupid. Get out of this place. And you walk out. While you are on your way, he said, but the Lord, you sent me to that office. But they insulted me. And the Lord will say, go again. Go again to receive insult. Yes. The will of God. Lord, I'm anointed. I plan to start XYZ. I have the grace for this and that and that. And God will say, one more year, sit back. Lord, I have 98 songs in my book. Let me just release 12 to bless the nations. And God will say, keep writing. None of them will be launched. None of them. The next 3 years, I'm hiding you. And you are like, how about God? I know people who can't even sing like me. Already they are wasking album. Better wask it when God wants you to wask it. Otherwise, it's only you and your friends that will be listening to it. The will of God, you will see that you are qualified for a thing, and the will of God will corner you and still keep you somewhere. You are like, Habba, Habba, Habba. At times it now looks like you are not even intelligent because you are following the will of God. Can you pray in tongues for 1 minute? We are closing. Lord, take me to the place, just keep praying, where I have no will, that is separate from your will. Oh Lord, take me to the place, where I have no choice, that is separate from your choice. To be lost in you is my desire. To be all for you is all I want. Oh Lord, take me to the place where I have no will that is separate from your will. Oh Lord, take me to the place where I have no choice that is separate from your choice. To be all for you is my desire. To be all for you is all I want. Take me to the place you are, the secret place. That's where I wanna be. Take me to the place. The place you are, the secret place, that's I wanna be. Will you take me to the place? The place you are, the secret place. That's where I wanna be. That's where I wanna be. Listen. Listen. We're going to do two things together concurrently. You are saying, Apostle, while everybody still sits, you are saying, Apostle, I'm not born again. I need to even surrender my own life. Oh, I need to rededicate my own life to God first. Or a lot of things have happened and I need to make things right. Maybe this is your first time coming, or you've been coming. You've heard about submitting your will. Your own first is submitting your life. You are in that category. I want you to come. Just come and kneel down here and talk to God about your life. And I want to pray with you. Come. Unashamedly. Just stand. Come. Don't be ashamed. Stand. Come. 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 You are saying, my own, I need to even rededicate my life. I need to take God serious first. Before we even start talking about giving our lives, you are in careful listening to me. Don't sit back. If this word is for you, just go to the altar. Come to the front of your projector. Just kneel before the Lord. Talk to him. Ask him for mercy. Ask him for forgiveness. Ask him for mercy. Come. Come. I feel that a few more people. God is talking to your heart. Don't sit back. Come. 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 You are saying, Lord, I'm handing over my life to you. I want to genuinely walk with you. Enough of playing around with my life and destiny. Come. Come. Now, while they are praying here, be speaking in tongues. You are still sitting, maybe in Kefi Hall. Please come. If God is talking to you, take a bold step. Come. Forget about who is sitting by you. Come. Come. Oh, I surrender this life. And I receive your life. 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 Now, those of you who are the front, can you put your hand in your heart? Put your hand in your heart. And I want you to pray this prayer after me. Mean it from the depth of your heart. Those of you at the front, say, dear Jesus. Say, dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for me. Today I confess all my sins and I ask for mercy. I receive your life. I receive eternal life. I'm a child of God today. Thank you for saving me. Amen and amen. I pray for you now in the name of Jesus. And I decree that the name of the Lord be named upon you. Love Jesus and be established in grace. Let the grip of sin, addiction, yokes be broken now. Forward ever with the Lord and backward never. It is well with you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. Be on your feet. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now look at me. Has the rain stopped? It has stopped. All right, please talk to them quickly and come back in, because there's a prayer I want everybody to pray. Just one prayer and then we wrap up. Can you just follow the lady with the placard? Go with her. She will direct you. And there are people to attend to you very quick. And then we pray. Oh, glory to God. I have just one life to live, and it must glorify. I am yours, O Lord, until, and for all time. I have just one life to live,
and it must glorify you.
I am yours, Lord, in time, and for all eternity.
For all eternity.
Two more times, say,
I have just one life to live,
and it must glorify.
And it must glorify.
I am yours, Lord, in
Lord
time,
and for all.
Glorify,
and it must glorify.
I am yours,
Lord.
pray one prayer, please be on your feet. Just one prayer. Listen. Maybe right now, because you follow the will of God, it's making it look like you made a mistake. Regardless what the experiences are, let me guarantee you, if it is the will of God, you always come out victorious. Oh, always. God cannot will anything evil to you. He said, if you evil men know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Believe me, the journey might be tough. It might look like, what's really the explanation for all of this? But I can guarantee you, when God is done, you will enter that palace and never remember you were in prison. Believe it. You will be a prime minister in that palace and never remember you are in prison. We're going to pray just one prayer. Lord, this night.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.